with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is The Miller's Edge with Christian Miller, two-time national champion and team captain for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and former Carolina Panther, and his father, Corey Miller, the pastor of pain, a 9-year NFL veteran with the New York Giants, and University of South Carolina Hall of Famer. This is The Miller's Edge.
To the Miller's Edge, this Thursday edition. I had to get that right for a second. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's arch support experts. Hope everybody's doing well. A lot of things looking forward to diving into today. Yesterday, we definitely heard a lot from other outlets, right? Heard from the Dynasty, Chris Stewart, and Trent Richardson, AJ McCarron. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, you can always find their stuff on all podcasts and platforms, but had an appointment yesterday that led me to, you know, having to run a little bit behind. So that's why we did that. I ended up just rolling with the videos anyways, because we had to hit the all the interviews from post-practice, right? Heard from Kane Womack, got a lot of good stuff from him, talking about this defense, talking about some of the guys on the defense, right? James Smith, a couple other guys he mentioned, talked a little bit about that. Obviously, we can dive more into it and respond to it today, because yesterday we didn't really get a chance to respond to it. We kind of finished the show listening to his interview. So if you guys want to talk about what was addressed yesterday, excuse me, we definitely can do that, because I know the big one, you know, DeJon Lee, excuse me, a lot of talk about him being basically said they view him as a starter, how that could shift things around in the secondary. We could talk a little bit about that. Plus, he mentioned James Smith, a lot of high praise for him, even though he's still working his way back from injury that he had during camp. But a number of updates from Kane Womack, plus two other guys spoke to me that I don't really hear from much, Jamarian Latham and Deshaun Jones, which I don't think we got to those, but maybe if we have some time, we'll dive into them today. But a couple of things that I want to hit on that we didn't necessarily hit yesterday. I do know there is a couple of videos I do want to go to at some point. Greg McElroy breaking down his SEC outlook in terms of the conference championship, how he sees that playing out. So we'll hear from him. Always like getting different perspectives on stuff like that. Plus another video this one's coming from On3, where people are actually finally starting to jump on this bandwagon chase, this Alabama bandwagon, man. I mean, obviously we know LSU was talked about. We know Georgia, Texas, but I feel like Alabama, if you go back to the spring, was a little bit slept on. And all of a sudden, I don't know what's in the water now, Chase, but people are kind of coming around to the Crimson Tide. So I don't know. We'll dive into some of these videos, but my thing is, I don't know. Is it too late, Chase, for people to jump on the bandwagon if they weren't on it already? Or you think they're still good since the season hadn't started? What do you think, Chase?
I think they still have some till the season starts. You know, we'll give it some time.
Yeah, I think we can give them a little bit of grace. But I just keep thinking, I'm like, even not long ago, even back at SEC Media Days, I just feel like we weren't getting a whole bunch of love. But something, I don't know if it's the intel coming out of fall camp. I don't know what the case may be, but it seems like a lot of people are, gravitating slowly back towards Alabama. So take it for what it is. Some people say it's rat poison. They kind of liked it the other way around. I don't know, but it definitely feels like people are starting to warm up to Kalen DeBoer in year number two going into this 2025 season. Speaking of that, it kicks off against Florida State, really just 9 days away. It's literally right around the corner. I've been watching some tape, Chase, and I'll be honest with you guys. The more I watch of UCF, the more I watch of I feel like people don't pronounce the L's. Almost like I don't know, Chase. Do you have the proper pronunciation for me by chance?
I think it's Castellanos. That's what I've heard from some of the reporters.
So they do pronounce it. So Castellanos.
Correct.
You know what's crazy? That's how I've been saying it. But then I've been watching other videos and they're saying like Castellanos. I don't know. Anyway, we're sticking with that. Castellanos. I've been watching his tape, Chase, because if you go on YouTube, there's a video of like all his highlights from Boston College, right? And I was watching it, trying to get a better idea for, because I've seen that video, but I only saw like certain parts of it. I didn't really watch it all the way through. But this time I was watching yesterday, I watched a good bit of it. And I'll say this, man. It makes you just think like what could be. And the reason I say that is I'll dive more into it later, but you look at his style of play, the type of football player he is at that quarterback position. You look at kind of how we, you know, looked going against certain looks and certain types of quarterbacks last year, just kind of makes you wonder a little bit, right? And it makes you really think, all right, we really need to be that much more on our P's and Q's going into this matchup. And you definitely don't want to be sleeping on these guys. Not saying like, oh, I wouldn't watch this tape and now I'm concerned. No, 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 no. I still think we walk out of Tallahassee with a dub. And I'm not saying this is going to be some blowout, but I do feel like, you know, by the end of the game, we will kind of start pulling away. But I do think it is going to be a more competitive game than some people might believe, personally, especially after going back and kind of watching him and getting more of a vibe for him. And then just thinking about that marriage between him, you know, Malzahn, who's the new offensive coordinator. It's definitely interesting. Not to mention, I didn't realize this, Chase. I believe they even have another familiar face who's a really good football player who Alabama, at least the defense, is very familiar with, Squirrel White. I didn't realize this, Chase, but he actually transferred over to Florida State, which I wasn't even aware of until recently, right? And I guess I should have been hip on that because, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the NCAA with the name Squirrel. But long story short, you know, we saw him a couple of years ago when he faced Alabama. Good player. He's got some juice. So they've got some guys. And I think just the style of offense that they have, to me, looks to be one. You've heard me talk about it. For any defense, it's a challenge. But if you look at what our weaknesses were last year, going back to the Vanderbilt game, the Oklahoma game, you know, quarterback design runs, you know, basically quarterback using their legs, it's caused us problems. And you're going to see that in week one, right? And this guy's got some juice. I'm not going to lie to you. He can throw the ball pretty well too. But really the thing what stood out to me is kind of building off what I talked about last time we mentioned him is, you know, when they get into that zone read RPO stuff, man, you got to be disciplined. You got to play some disciplined football. If not, you're going to set yourself up behind the eight ball. And so I'll dive into more about kind of what I've been seeing by watching the tape, but it is kind of, you know, piquing my curiosity is, you know, how do we expand off of, you know, what we did defensively last year? Obviously, we got better as the year went on, but still there was just certain things that caused us problems, whether it was a lack of adjustment, you know, taking on offenses that did have, like, even if you go look at the South Carolina game, just quarterbacks that had athletic ability typically gave us issues last year. Norris Sellers, Jackson Arnold, Diego Pavia. And you're starting, you know, out the gate week one with a guy like that. And not only that, but an offensive coordinator who knows how to, you know, throw the trickery, the gimmick stuff at you is definitely interesting. So I am curious kind of how we approach this game kind of, and from like a schematic standpoint. So I don't know. Maybe next time I'm out at practice, I'll kind of try to get a close eye on that, get a feel for what they might do to, you know, anticipate that. Because you heard Kane Womack talk yesterday, Chase. He said it like, you know, it's a tough challenge because you're trying to watch basically what I was saying. You're trying to watch a little bit of UCF, watch a little bit of Boston College. You're trying to anticipate, but you still just don't know what you're going to get exactly. Could be an interesting matchup week one. Definitely will be, but we'll talk more about that and some. Plus, we want to talk with you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number. I believe we already got JR on the phone lines. We'll talk with him probably when we come back. Just go straight to the people. You guys know the drill. If you guys are lined up on the phone lines, we're going ahead and going straight to you. I don't want you guys waiting too long to put the videos and stuff on hold. So if you guys want to get on the action, let us know. There was a conversation that I wanted to dive into because I knew it probably would get some good attention, right? People probably have some thoughts on this because I definitely kind of had some thoughts on this. You know, I know it's going back a couple of days, but we didn't dive into it yesterday. I'll throw it out there just in case you guys do, in fact, want to talk about this. And what that was Ryan Grubb spoke to the media, right? And he talked about basically what this offense is going to look like this year. And given his answer, of course, you already know how this goes, Chase. People already start jumping at things and they immediately say, oh, yep. In other words, that's code for he's blaming it on one guy. And I kind of want to, again, because I haven't had a chance to really offer my thoughts on his answer on that. So maybe we'll do that as well, because I'm curious to see what you guys think. Because again, everybody in the internet community, on the Twitter community, X, I should say, they've got their opinions. But I'm curious what our listeners thought about that answer. And if you agreed with that side of things, or you see a little bit more how I see it. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back right on the Miller's Edge, Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the good...
That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right. Wait, I'm confused now. Wait, is there only exit? Wait, are we 8 days away, Chase? Did I get that wrong? I'm looking at the, it's 21st. I thought that's 9 days, right? Justin in the chat says 8 days. Oh, 8 days in a wake up. Oh, my bad. 8 days in a wake up. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, that makes more. I was like, hold on. Justin, are we on the same time zone? All right. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Where should we start? We probably should start on the phone line, so then we can circle back to that thing. Again, I'm not trying to stir the pot or anything. It just had come up, and I saw a lot. I think Ricky was tweeting a bunch about it. And then I saw the whole, like I said, the ex community sharing their thoughts about it. And to be fair, I mean, the response was a response. And I think when you hear it initially, it's easy just to jump to, oh, well, he's just straight up putting it on that one guy. But I didn't take it like that whatsoever. A matter of fact, I'm trying to find the clip because I want to just kind of just get it out the way. I mean, I know I could just go to the interview itself. But again, basically, I think the question was, I'm going to paraphrase, and we'll have it exactly for you here in 2 seconds, but basically about the offense and how it's going to be different from like last season. And, you know, I think when he initially mentioned, like, obviously he was, you know, Jalen Milroe, he was a quarterback, right? That's a big piece. People just take that and they just run with it. Like, oh, he's blaming, yeah, because he was the guy, it's his fault. He changed everything. But then they completely miss the perspective, Chase, that, okay, why was he your guy? Just think about this for, you know what I mean? Why was he your guy? So when you get to that point, you realize that means he was the best guy and the coaches played the best guy. And that means he must have been a good bit better than the other guys. Why? Because they elected to play the guy that he just said wasn't the best fit for this offense. You see what I'm saying, Chase? So when you really start thinking about it, like it's not hard to realize, all right, that's not what he was getting at. What he was getting at was, he was the guy last year, right? And it's so crazy that, again, I just have to remember, unfortunately, common sense is not so common, number one. And number two, people just don't understand these things. But again, there's no such thing as holding hostage. There's no such thing as playing guys because you just have a good relationship with the guy and he's your friend. No, guys, again, I don't know how many times I have to say this. I'm probably going to say this is going to be the last time. This is the University of Alabama. A school that competes for these on the stream. You can see all the rings I'm holding up year in and year out. Do you think we won these rings and all the other rings before by playing guys like it's peewee football because the mom and dad come up to the school and say, my kid needs to play? Or he's a good kid. No. Again, the people that get paid millions of dollars to make these decisions and have, like, this is their job, their career. They're not playing somebody that if that person was so detrimental to the success of the team, he would not be playing. Doesn't matter if he helped keep guys, helped recruit guys. That does not mean anything. Like, it's so crazy that we're still even talking about this. But anyway, so that's where it was coming from. But like I said, it really is. It's that simple when you just go to deduction. Like, literally, people talk about the whole, oh, he was holding him hostage. All right, no, that's not it. But let me see. I got this pulled up. Let me see if I can find it. Chase, do you know? Okay, so it was the first question. So matter of fact, so here we go. I'm just going to put this on here so we can get this out of the way. Chase, I feel like we got to get this out of the way because I know Ricky and some other people were talking about this. I know you guys probably want to. Some of you might not want to, but we'll get it out of the way real quick. So here we go. This was the question and Ryan Grubb's answer.
Coach, you being here with different kind of quarterback, would the offense look drastically different than, say, last year? Or are there any other factors?
I mean, that's kind of the obvious one, right? Is like we're not necessarily a Jalen Milroe offense right now. Just Jalen was a super talented runner. That was probably part of the game plan every week. And, you know, which was smart last year by the offensive staff. So I think that's probably the biggest difference.
How do you anticipate the running back distribution?
All right, so there you go. So that was it, real quick and to the point. But again, people hear that initially and they go, oh, he's, oh, there you go. See, we were right. It's Jalen's fault. No, that's literally, no. That's not, it's not even close. Again, it just boils down to what I said. I'll be brief. He was the best player. So this is how it works, guys. For you guys that just can't figure this out. There's always competition. Doesn't matter if it's a quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, defensive end, safe. There's always this competition. The best guy almost always is going to win the job. And the reason I say almost always is sometimes there can be factors. And those factors aren't just holding a team hostage. That does not happen. Those factors would include, like, fit, right? So if there is a guy that you're saying, like, yeah, like, this guy's good, but he might not be the exact fit. And even though this guy might be a little less talented, or he fits better. That is something that can be considered. Or, like when I was playing, experience played a factor, right? Coach Saban, and again, this not to draw this whole thing out, but in a system that is very complicated, you can't just throw in true freshmen, even if they're really good, if they don't know what they're doing. Why? Because football is a team sport, guys. This is not the Olympics. It's not tennis. It's none of these individual sports. You have to have everybody on the same page. It doesn't matter how good a guy is. If you can't trust him to go in that game and do his job and he's a liability, and he's putting your team at risk of giving up plays and, you know, basically just losing it, you're not going to play him. Doesn't matter how good he is. In this instance, though, again, and this is I promise this is probably the last time I'm talking about this. You had a guy the year prior led a team to a conference championship over the two-time national or back-to-back national championship winning Georgia Bulldogs, go to a playoff game, really could have and should have beat Michigan. Even though our O-line play was horrific in that game, still probably should have won that game and still really had Michigan beat if Caleb Downs didn't have that bust on that flat route, right? Which, again, that's a fact. You can go back and watch the tape. You stopped them right there. Was it fourth down, I think it was? You stopped them right there. Or even, like, the weird thing that happened on, like, the kickoff should have been a safety or something like that. Even with as bad as our offensive line was, still should have been playing a national championship game. Not to mention, again, I was here watching the quarterback battle when Coach DeBoer took over in the spring. Jalen was the better man at the job last year. That's not to say Ty didn't look good. Ty looked good. But Jalen just was the better guy, right? Moving forward, that being said, if he's your guy, you tailor things to what he does best. Hence why Ryan Grubb said what he said. It was a Jalen Miller offense. So that's how the process works. A certain guy wins the job. Boom. Now, what's the next step? How do we tailor it to make him successful? Because if he has success, we have success. That's literally the situation. That's what he's describing. But unfortunately, people hear it and they wanted to push the narrative that they have. And it's not remotely close to being true. There was never a hostage situation. Again, I will say this 1,000 times if I have to, but hopefully it's the last one. He did not. Again, I'm around the program all the time. No hostage situation. No forcing people to play somebody. No, oh, people are going to leave. The transfer portal is closed, guys, during the season. Who the hell is going to leave? You can't leave. I mean, Jaheim Otis left during the season. You think people are just going to stop playing football because some guy's not named a starter and they're going to just waste a season? Guys, like, it's like, seriously, please, man. I know common sense is not common, but just think for 2 seconds, man. Just think for 2 seconds and you'll understand, man. Because that's all he was saying. Last year, the guy that won the job was a dual threat quarterback who gave you, you know, the best chance using his running ability, right? He's no different if you take over an NFL team and Lamar Jackson is your quarterback. Chase, let me ask you, if you're a GM, if you're a head coach, you take over a football team with Lamar Jackson as quarterback, how do you think the offense is going to look?
It's going to be tailored towards Lamar Jackson using what makes him special, hence why the Ravens have been successful with the past few seasons. It's not that bad, people. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's no different. So it's like they came here, they took over a team where who was the guy that was the best man for the job? Jalen, right? So then what do? You tailor it around that. It's no different. Nobody just takes over the Ravens and has Lamar Jackson and go, all right, we're going to put in this game plan that's more of what we want to do that mimics what, I don't know, just name any other quarterback. I don't know, like, but somebody who's Joe Flacco and the Browns, their game plan, where you know he's a starting quarterback. He's not going to be running at all. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's really like, I just don't know why some of our fans, and I say some because I know it's not all, but I know, of course, all the attention on social media, so you see that. I know a lot of our listeners understand this kind of stuff. But unfortunately, you have other people and other hosts and people that put out all this stupid energy that is not true. Because unfortunately, you got a lot of people that talk about the game that don't even know the game themselves, and they push this crap. And it's just silly. And it's just crazy that, like, and the question that the guy asked is a good question, because, I mean, everybody wants to know how things will look different under Ryan Grubb. But what did I just say the other day, Chase? I just was saying this. Everybody's immediately going to jump to, oh, because that one thing that, no, I think it looks, regardless, even if I guarantee you, even if Jalen was still the quarterback and Ryan Grubb was here, it still will look a little bit different. Now it's going to look even more different because, yes, the guy at the quarterback spot has a different skill set. But even then, man, I'm just telling you, like, he's doing some stuff that I feel like we just didn't really see last year, partly because of Jalen, partly because he wasn't the coordinator. So, again, I know people are sick of the four talk. I am too. I know people probably sit there and they probably want to turn the show off because they think I'm being a Milroe apologist, which I'm not. If you go back to 2 years, I was I'm not an apologist for anybody. Number one, I'm not going to disrespect guys, especially guys that put on the jersey, but I have no problem just speaking facts. And I used to, you can go back and check my receipts. I talked about Jalen held the ball too long. He had to go through his reads quicker. I talked about all the things that he needed to be better at. I have no problem doing that. I never once said he was perfect. And I also have no problem acknowledging the other glaring issues. That I don't give a crap if you put Ty Simpson back there behind that offense line the last 2 years. His ass wouldn't have done much better either. Doesn't matter if he's a good fit or not. Because one thing I do know with all the years that I've played this game is that it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback if you don't have good protection, if you don't have good weapons around you, guys. Like, it's common sense, man. Just think about it. Look at Bryce Young with the Panthers. Top overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner. If it was all about the quarterback, if the quarterback was the only thing important, why can't Bryce Young go sit there and replicate what he's done in college? I'll wait. Because he doesn't have the freaking pieces around him. Like, it's just the craziest thing how people just, like, whether it's just pure ignorance, they just don't know, or they just choose to overlook it. But it's really, I promise you guys, if you listen to informed opinions, hence our show, or you learn about the game, you will just know that you'll understand. Stop following these stupid internet narratives that are just they're wrong, man. They're just wrong. So anyway, there's my rant. So if you guys are probably like, damn, I wish he's back out that he could just play videos. We don't want to hear his rant. Sorry, but had to get that out of the way because, like I said, nothing just bothers me more. Is like, it's one thing if, like, some people are just saying whatever, right? People are going to say whatever, but then when you just have people posted and people pushing it, I'm like, just like, come on, man. It's just dumb. It honestly is just silly. Before we hit this break, we'll put a bow on all this, unless you guys call in and want to respond to it. But Ricky says, my beef is with the fans that won't let number four go. For some reason, everyone knows something that the coaches don't. Like, people really think a player has enough juice to hold a school hostage. And thank you. And let alone the University of Alabama. Like, come on, man. Like, again, to take it a step further, they act like the guy the year prior didn't lead the team to an SEC championship and a playoff game. And again, really could have been a national championship game. Like, whether he's, you know, inconsistent, whatever the case may be, the dude had receipts. And I'm telling you from my personal account of being up there watching the battle, because again, yes, technically they still did compete last year, even though, of course, it was his job to lose. That would be the case for anybody who was a returning conference champion and took their team to the playoff. don't know any other coach that wouldn't at least give that guy a chance to maintain his spot. Like, come on, guys. Like, again, Ty looked good last year, but it was not enough to sit there and say, all right, we're going to immediately bench this guy. If you guys want to get into the argument, like, why didn't they try Ty down in the season? You can ask the coaches that. But they obviously still felt that he gave them the best chance to win. It's nothing about glue or people that are spewing out this, oh, the length posse. Like, it's all BS, man. And honestly, comes from it. I never even pulled those cards, but like, you guys made me start to really think sometimes with the way people talk, man. It's kind of sad. Because I do know when we beat Georgia, everybody was parading around. Even the guy, the idiot that called last week or whatever it was, who spews out nonsense left and right, he even called and was hyping the guy up. Everybody had dude on, lifting him up like he was Jesus. The minute the dude starts struggling a little bit, everybody turns their back on him. Now I just completely forget all the good that he's done just because he had some struggles on the football field. Just like you all have struggles off the football field, but that doesn't get put to light because it's not a sport. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy, man. Let's see. Sorry, I just want to put a bow on this before we wrap things up. Sports like politics, 10% of the people are lunatics, don't represent the 90% of us, common sense. Yeah, no, trust me, I'm with you. I'm with you, Mike. It's just that 10%, I swear, they're the loudest, 100%, man. And you know why I know that, too, is because I run into so many people all the time, matter of fact, that randomly just come on. Man, I love the show. I listen to the show every day. I mean, I'm talking about like almost every time out about it, ever somebody comes up and says that. And then they always follow. It's like, I just don't call. You know, I'm just whatever. I just don't call in. But no, I listen every single day. And it makes you remember, like, you focus on, you know, like what's in front of you. But there's so many other people out there. And I got to remember that, too. Ricky says Josh Pate kind of put that energy out there with his whole thing with the hostage situation. And if he did that, man, I mean, that ain't it. That ain't it. I mean, he honestly should know better. He should know better. Now, if you want to say, like, were they limited in what they wanted to do because of Jalen's skill set, I have no problem saying that. That also is a fact. That's what I'm saying, guys. It's like two things can be true, but still, though, like, that's what you get when you have that. It's, again, I always use, like, the car analogy. It's just like, you don't take a Ferrari off-roading. It's a different type of car. It's not built for that. You want something to do that, you do something else. But if that's the case, that's what you're driving. You drive it accordingly. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like running out of examples. Like, I feel like it should be explanatory. All right, last couple of things before we hit this break. What's crazy is these kids never had a coordinator stick around more than 1 year on both sides of the ball. Let that sink in. I mean, that's definitely also something, man. I tell people what you're saying all the time. But the problem is people are so glued to what they believe, they don't even care. You could have Coach Saban saying exactly what I'm saying, and I don't even know if they will listen to him, even though people worship him like he's God. I would not be shocked if people – I mean, I don't know. Maybe we just need to get him to come on the show and just say that. Because he also was the guy that chose him to be the quarterback. So ask him why he chose him. I mean, did he hold Coach Saban hostage too? The guy that was responsible for, what, 7 national championships, I guess he held him and his Lank friends held him hostage. I mean, and Coach Saban literally tried to play other people. He benched them. And guess who ended right back at the quarterback spot? That's what I'm saying. Like, if we just sit here and talk about it, it literally is like, it's not hard, man.
It's just nonsense, honestly, Christian. I have to step in. I know we're about to go to break, but it's crazy that they're literally still using this narrative because I see it on Twitter. You know,
it's bad, bro.
It's bad. I got here this morning, 6 o'clock, not 6 o'clock, 5:30-ish, out the blue. I see a content creator talking about, well, you know, Ty Simpson was in the system, it would have been a lot better. And I'm like, this early in the morning, like, what?
Oh, dude, it's an everyday thing from morning to evening. And look, like, to be fair, like, is a Ty a better fit? Yes, that's not like there's no denying that. But where he was at last year with the way everything was working out last year, Jalen was that guy. And they just had to adjust accordingly. Like, it's really just like, it's in that, it's as simple as that. They just leave it. It's that, like, it's literally just that. I'm just saying, like, this last thing I'll say, and I appreciate you chiming in, Chase. If it was just that simple of oh, you put this guy in and everything's mad, you don't think these guys that get paid so much money, way more money than all of us make, right, and have been doing this for years, you really, just think about this. You really think they would allow somebody to weigh them down, bring them down, and keep them from having the success they want to have over just to, oh, man, he's a good guy, and we don't want to make him upset or his friends? And then these people contradict themselves, Chase, because then they say, oh, well, the receivers are glad he's gone. But hold on. I thought you just said those are the same guys that were going to be, you know, transferring out and holding out if he wasn't the quarterback. So which one is it? Were they riding with them like that they would transfer out immediately and not play? Or are they happy that he's like, you see what I'm saying, Chase? They literally are saying opposite things, man. All right, we got to hit a break. We come back. I promise we're going to the phone lines. But yeah, like Fromm said, hey, everybody, you got to vent sometimes, man. You got to vent a little bit. All right, which I promise I wasn't trying to vent. I just wanted just to hit that because I feel like it's my duty on this platform to intercept some of the nonsense that people push online, whether it's people with platforms or fans or just people with fake accounts, burner accounts that don't even have their real faces on them. It's my job to intercept them, Chase. I'm intercepting it like Keon Sab, right? I'm intercepting all the negativity. I'm re-educating. I'm informing from a place of, I don't know, experience, knowledge. I don't know. But we got to hit time out. We come back. We keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your
exceptional pieces to mark your special occasion.
Visit Hudson Pooh Fine Jewelers, downtown Tuscaloosa, or at hudsonpooh.com.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. I told our YouTube chat already, but to our radio listeners, man, big welcome to my buddy Compax. He's my friend from the Dominican Republic, and he's learning some English while he listens to the stream. So we've been welcoming him in here, and it's kind of cool to see some of our listeners on our YouTube chat try to speak a little Spanish with him. But really cool stuff, man. It's crazy how this world works, man. I literally was practicing Spanish. I know you guys are sick of hearing me talk about Spanish, but was practicing Spanish. Met Compax, aka Jason, and man, we practice, man. We play video games and speak. And he's trying to learn English. I'm learning Spanish, and now he's over here checking out the podcast, trying to learn a little bit about football, man. And just think that's really cool. But anyway, let's go to the phone lines 205-342-9904. We got JR up first. JR, welcome in. JR, are you there? Going once, twice. He might not have liked that that conversation. He might be on the other end of that conversation, Chase. He might have felt attacked. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. JR, if you want to circle back, man, feel free. All right, let's keep on rolling. I think Carson was on here. Carson, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's up?
Oh, what's going on, man? Sorry, I had to get my little... I wouldn't even call it a rant. Maybe it was a little bit of it. It turned into a rant.
You were scorching earth. I respect it.
No, listen, I promise. It's, to me, a rant is just someone just emotionally just like, to me, yeah, I definitely, I'm passionate about it because I when it feels so personal and disrespectful, man, it's just like, and it's unwarranted, man. And then really the most important thing is it's just wrong. Like it's not accurate. You know, yep. If it's one thing, if it was accurate, sure. But the problem is it's not. And that's what really bothered me. So I try to course correct.
Right. And it's funny because there's a huge difference between criticism and pointing out inconsistencies and then completely making up narratives in your head about why. These are all made up. It's fabrication. That's all it is, by a fan who's never played a down in his life. And like, I was critical at times. I think everybody was critical at times. Like, even like, sure. You just said, like, yes, were there some things that were inconsistent, or were there some, and it's not just on the quarterback, like it's the offensive line, it's weapons, there's so much more to it. You know this better than
anybody. And a lack of a consistent running game. I mean, dude, the list goes. That's 100%. What drives me nuts. I'm like, I can literally name off the top of my head four or five things immediately that were not where they needed to be.
100%. And, you know, and that's why I looked at, like, I can say that in the same breath that I can say Ty is might bring a little bit more consistency to the system. He is a better fit for the system. I can say that in the same breath that Jalen Milroe deserved to be the starter the year before. I just don't think that the coaches and we were ready to drive a Ferrari. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Two things can be true. I agree 100% with you. Like, that's why, like, I have no problems in that. I do. And you've heard me talk about it. Like, I feel like we're going to be more efficient this year. And again, not only because of that, but I do feel like Ty being a better fit definitely adds to that. I think Ryan Grubb and what he brings as a coordinator, like, let's just face it, like, Nick Sheridan kind of got thrown into the fire last year. They did not bring him here to be the offensive coordinator of the University of Alabama. I know he had experience, but, you know, he had limited experience and it wasn't like some crazy impressive resume as an offensive coordinator. And I know there are some other factors, injuries, whatever, but still, like, and not to mention that really one of the most important things to me is that I think the offensive line play this year should be much better, and the weapons without a doubt are much better. So literally all the things we talked about were issues the last 2 years look to be, at least right now, better. And I think that all that should come into play.
I agree. I watched Grubb's interview yesterday when they after practice, or I guess it was yesterday or 2 days ago, but and I don't understand how you can come to that conclusion to fit that narrative. I think what he said was very respectful and like, hey, you have a Ferrari and you're going to run plays to, that's good coaching. Like, yeah. whether it worked or not, or was executed to, we know how the execution was, but like the game plan wise, like if a coach didn't do that, I would be asking questions. Because it's like, how many times do we see, oh, they aren't using him correctly? Well, you couldn't say that about us. Like, at least the quarterback position. Like, you're going to, that dude's a Ferrari. You're going to run him. Like, what do you
I mean, and like, for the people that watch the NFL, that's why I threw out, like, just think about Lamar. Like, if literally put yourself in that position, if you're a coordinator, or you're a head coach and you take over a team that has Lamar Jackson at quarterback. It's no different. You're going to do that. Even if you came in and your offense didn't really look like that, you would be foolish to say, we're going to make him do stuff that he's not good at, and we're going to completely ignore the fact that this dude's the fastest quarterback in the NFL and clearly can score. You know, like 100%. At the end of the day, that's what football comes down to. It's about scoring the most points and tackling the other team and keeping them from scoring points. That's literally what it comes down to. It doesn't matter if it's throwing the football. It doesn't matter if it's running the football. That's why you see teams like Army, Navy, whatever, they're running the ball a million times a game, and literally they're winning football games because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what they
score
do.
A point. Like, you score.
Yeah, I agree. We can officially say we put this to bed on your show. So
fair enough. I mean, listen, we got eight days and a night. I think that's how it was worded in the comments. Listen, hopefully by that point, I thought we would have been done with Ty was named the starter. I thought we were done
with the
conversation. But I think officially, yes, we're good on my show for sure. But hopefully by the 30th,
everybody,
it won't even be in the same breath anymore.
Well, look, the reason why I called in was because of the opener. I got some. Did you see Thomas Castellanos' quotes yesterday
about the toughest defense he'll face all year? It's his defense.
It wasn't super disrespectful, but I'm like, dude. First of all, the best defense you've played in your whole career at Boston College up until now is Missouri, and you lost. And I'm like, so of course you don't know what you don't know. You hadn't seen a good defense. So of course that's the best defense you've played against. Like, so I was watching that, and then I was the other day, I guess it was Monday on your show, kind of talking about game plan, how to game plan for Gus. You know, what are we to expect, because we don't have film. And you know, you're just going off vibes. not really, but you're going off past film. And I was thinking, like, you know, the criticism that Kane Womack got last year, and I was critical too, and of, it's like this flashy defense where it's like kind of a, like, look what I drew up, you know? Yeah. Like, I think Ryan had talked about it a couple last week on your show, talking about, you know, you're mugging the linebackers, like you're it's like this, like, look at the pony show, you know, like, look what I can do, I drew this up, I'm a genius, you know. But that being said, I do think a little bit of that will go a long way against Florida State, because I was just thinking about this, and I want to get your thoughts about it. Whereas I criticized them for that a little bit last year. I was like, why are we doing all this? Like, we don't need to, it doesn't have to be sexy. Like, just let them play and they'll make the plays. But Florida State's got a year of film on what we did last year. I think you bring the absolute house. Like, throw the kitchen sink at Gus. Because you want the type of defense that Kane Womack wants to play is to be the aggressor. It's to be on the attack. That's why people make bad decisions. That's why we get a lot of turnovers, is because of some of that. Now, there's been a give and take with that, you know, because we've had some busts and our eyes have been bad and we've been undisciplined at times and all of that. But I think, man, if Gus has a year of film and Tony White has a year of film on what we've done and we don't have any film on them, I'm throwing the exotics at them because it, like, make them make a play or make them do something they don't want to do, you know? And I just want to get your thoughts maybe on just like philosophy of that, of where it's like, hey, we have a lot of film, but they have film on us. We don't have that much film on them. So let's throw the house at them. That way they can't get a beat on it.
Yeah, no. So I get where you're coming from, and I understand it. And I think to an extent, but I'll give you some reasons why you don't do that. Number one, what you're looking at in this offense of Florida State, man, when you have a lot of pieces, like, you know, moving pieces offensively that you're seeing a lot of different looks, sometimes less is more. And what that means is if you try to overcomplicate it as a defense, because it would happen with us sometimes. We naturally had a complicated defense. What happens is then when you're facing all these shifts and motions and we have all these checks and then they're kind of making it muddy, like, all right, did he just make a bunch? He's technically still in the core, but are we counting it as a bunch? Or what do we? And then you guys aren't on the same page. Right. So that's one thing to think about, Carson. But I do understand and complete what you're saying. So this is what I will say. I do agree by really doing, you know, what you can to force the issue. However, I think it's a circumstantial thing. What I mean by that is try to get to those looks and those things on those third and long situations. Those passing
down and distance, really, right?
Right, when you can bring it, right? But to me, like, sometimes on those first and second downs, when you know you got a running quarterback, you know you're going to see some zone read stuff. When you play teams like that, you got to be disciplined. And sometimes when you try to get fancy, so say, like, for example, like in a base defense, I mean, you expect, you know, defensive end to be a quarterback player. We all know that, right? He's playing the quarterback. You got a guy for the dive, guy for the pitch, boom. But say you want to go and say, all right, we're going to call a pressure here. Then that means, all right, now that defensive end, he's on a pirate stunt, which means the safety or the whatever DB is coming off the edge, he's not a quarterback player. He's not used to always being a quarterback player. He overruns it or he goes too far off the field. Tommy puts his foot in the ground, and then you got a big old hole. Like, that could be a problem. Yeah. However, but like you just said, though, if you do it right and those guys are coached up right and they execute, it could result in a negative play. I just always view it as it's like high risk, high reward. And sometimes it's just better, especially when you think you have the better athletes. Like Jeremy Pruitt used to tell us all the time, right? Like he's like, I trust you guys. We got the best effing guys in the country. You tell me what y'all want to play. Yep. And we'll call that son of a all game. He would say that kind of stuff. And so we'd be like, all right, bet, run it. Call flex. And that was our base defense, base four man.
You're playing out of flex the whole
cover
game.
Six.
Huh?
You know what I'm saying? We play out of flex front. We play our cover six rules, and we get after it. I mean, like, we didn't need all that. Now, I do think we got some good players. So, like for example, like, I see why they started playing a good bit of man coverage last year. Why?
Because they could. Dude,
look at the secondary. You got corners that can cover like that. Play man. You know what I mean? Like, don't just give up those easy dump. I play man. So I think it all is circumstantial, but I definitely agree with what you're saying. Like, I wouldn't be mad at, you know, mixing it up. Because I will say, to your point, I do agree with that because against Vanderbilt, I feel like we didn't adjust. And that's the time to start mixing things up. Because obviously you're like, all right, our game plan for this is not working. Let's mix it up. Let's change who has
to. Let your athletes go.
Yep. Let them do some things and give them different looks. That way they don't just say, all right, this DB is coming down. We know he's going to play the pit or whatever. So now we're just, you know, giving ourselves up. So yes and no, I agree with you. At certain points, yes, you do want to mix it up and show them different looks and really force it. But you also have to know that, all right, we might need to just settle back in, get to some base stuff, play disciplined football. Whoever's got the quarterback, take the quarterback. Discipline eyes, because last year that we had a bad problem with eye discipline, man. And I think part of that it was bad. And I think part of that came from the fact that we were playing so much of this vision coverage, like, hey, just go make football plays. Brother, you got to take care of business first. Like, you got to cover your zone, your man, and then you can start playing. But I think the good news is year two, these guys have a better idea of how to have that balance and strike a proper balance with that stuff of being a football player, but playing discipline within the system and respecting the rules. Of each play, And so I think it should be better. But that's a really good question. And I think, yeah, I think it should be a little bit of both. But knowing Kane Womack, he's probably going to be a little bit aggressive with this. I just hope it's not too much to the point where we're giving ourselves up. You know what I mean? Because, again, you got to think of it like high risk, high reward.
I agree. I think at the end of the day, we probably are better on both sides of the football at every position where you can. So we need to take that into account. I think we got more dudes, more Jimmys and Joes. And I think also we got more guys. We're more versatile this year. We have more guys to play the position, so we're deeper. That's a factor too, right? Where it's like, okay, how are we going to play it when we have all of this rotational advantage to play? So I think that comes into play. But I appreciate you commenting on it because I just wanted to hear your thoughts. I'll leave you with this. Did you see Josh Pate pick Bama to win the Natty?
Who did?
Josh Pate.
He picked us to win the national championship?
Picked us to win the national championship.
I did not see that. Was that recently? I'll try to pull it up.
That was Wednesday. He's doing a show on Wednesdays with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. They're doing a show every Wednesday during the college football season together. And they did their preview, and they picked everybody who's going to win the conference. They picked their Heisman winner, and they picked their national champion. And Pate picked us. So
he must have walked away really impressed from scrimmage number two, man. I'll try to clip that part from that video. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll pod that up, man. Carson, we appreciate you, man. Yep. Great stuff as always, man. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for taking my call, and y'all have a blessed day.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Be easy. Good deal, man. Good stuff from Carson as always, man. Very informed, very, very, very great stuff, man. Very good stuff. All right, we got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here. Tide on the Point 9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers are still two games up on the Padres in the NL West standings. LA lost at Colorado, giving up a run in the bottom of the ninth. 4-3 for the Rockies, who've won 6 of 7. And then the Padres were beaten 4-3 at home by San Francisco. San Diego had a home run overturned early in the game due to fan interference. Cincinnati beat the Angels 4-1 in Anaheim. The Reds are now just one game out of the last NL wild card behind the Mets. Baltimore won 6-3 at Boston. Winning pitcher Trevor Rogers is 6-2, ERA 1.41 for the Orioles. Pittsburgh down Toronto 5-2. Slugger for the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. left with hamstring tightness. Philadelphia got 2 home runs from Bryce Harper and beat Seattle 12-7. Detroit shut out Houston 10-0. Milwaukee 7-0 over the Cubs. Game 2 of the Twin Bill was rained out. And in an NFL exhibition, Cincinnati won 31-17 at Washington.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. The TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show on Friday morning at 9 a.m. is always jumping. Adam Amin from Fox Sports, former Alabama and NFL great Wallace Gilberry, Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report, and that great weekend music.
That's policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa. Weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few spots could see a shower or storm through the evening hours. The high today 90, tonight's low 72. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. The high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
365. 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
From the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, which quick little note about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, and I'll definitely have more on some of this stuff coming up. Definitely some stuff in the works with the Good Feet Store, and I do know one of those big things will be they've got a new kicking challenge that they're going to be doing. So basically what it is during home games, there's going to be a kicking challenge each week. And you get a chance to win cash prizes, I believe, if I'm getting that right. It's called the Good Feet Store Kick for Cash. And so that's going to be running all season long. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they're going to invite, you know, fans down on the field and give them a chance to, you know, kick a field goal to win some cash. But if you guys are just trying to win at life and win in terms of battling that pain you're dealing with, man, just head on over to the Good Feet Store and get those arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, they'll take care of it. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa is where you can find them. Plus, you can always go to their website, goodfeet.com, schedule an appointment right there, or find the nearest location to you. They're nationwide. They're game changers. I'm telling you, these things are amazing, man. Just put them in your shoes. And they get to work, man. I'm telling you, I was like, I think I got them on right now. I just realized I'm wearing some slides, which you actually can throw them in slides too. They got a little sticker attachment thing that you can put them in there. So these things are not your typical orthopedics, man. These things are one of a kind. They're unique. And most importantly, they help eliminate and alleviate that pain. So check them out. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. See, this is what I'm talking about. See, these fans aren't even as big a fan as they say. How about this dude, Supreme, what is it? Supreme Morg, I don't know. He said, why is Slade Bolden the thumbnail? It's definitely not Slade Bolden, right? It's which I don't have no problem putting Slade on here. Slade's my guy. But I'm saying it's current, man. That's Bray Hubbard, right? I know two white guys wearing number 18. They look similar, I'm sure. But it's in fact our buddy Bray Hubbard, man. Shout out to Bray. Oh, he said, I'm a Vols fan. I just was curious. What? We just attract anybody here on the Miller's Edge, I guess. Anyway, that being said, we talked a little bit about FSU, but we definitely got into the whole response from Ryan Grubb. We covered that. I think we're good on that. Hit some phone calls. Carson was the last one that we had. That was great. And I think we've still got one more to get to. Ragged Glory, 205-342-9904. Ragged, you with us?
Man, just hanging in and holding on.
There he is. What's going on, Ragged?
Hey, como estas frijoles, man?
Como estas? Como has estado?
Muy bien, Pacos.
Well, I was about to say, so you said, how are you beans and very well tacos? So you must be very hungry right now.
I'm telling you, I'm in the process of trying to get it all done. What I want to do is wrap around. Let's go back to the beginning of your show. Man, sister and I, Julene, Miss Julene, and I said, preach it, Christian. You were bringing it. You know what? What would sports talk radio be without armchair coaches, coordinators, and quarterbacks who have never, ever played the game from Pop Warner on up through high school or college, whatever. I mean, these naysayers, guess what? They have no clue.
That's true.
They have no clue, especially if you go both sides of the ball when I play.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that's why our mission, man. Maybe we'll just turn that into our new slogan, man. Like, I don't know, teaching the game. I don't know, but you get what I'm saying. That's why I like to try to really teach from, like, an informative, educational standpoint. Not just like, oh, man, I feel like this. No. I mean, 95% of what I talk about is really based on tape, my experiences, being up to, like, the other 5%, I'll probably just throw in my thoughts because I think you have to, right? I don't know everything. I don't know what Florida State's going to do week one. But I tell you one thing. I'm going to watch the tape and do the best to give you guys the best preview that I can. But, yeah, you're right, man. That's just part of it. And I get it. I mean, there's those fans everywhere.
It's okay. Hey, Ms. Delane, what you got? What you got for Kristen?
Hey, good morning, Kristen. Afternoon, now, I guess. Hey.
How are you?
I'm blessed, sweetheart. Struggling, but blessed. And I love you. And I just want you to know it takes a team. It takes a whole team, not just a quarterback. And I'm getting tired of all the so-called Bama fans. The haters are going to hate, okay? It's not just the quarterback, okay? What if Ty Simpson fails? What if we lose a game? Are you going to do the same thing that you did to Jalen Hurts and Jalen Milroe? That's what frustrates me. And I think it has to do with the color of their skin. And that is what infuriates me. It takes a whole team. It takes a whole team. Offense, defense, everything in between. Okay?
And it takes
Jesus. People need Jesus. That's the problem in this world. People need Jesus.
Amen.
And I love you. I love you, brother. God bless you, and I'm going to not hijack this call anymore, okay?
No, you're fine. No, Julene bringing the heat today on the Miller's Edge.
No, it's just my phone is jacked up, and so when my brother calls, I say, I'm going to talk.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. No, that's great.
That's true. That's
two for
true.
One.
That's
there you
right.
go. Awesome.
Easier to get in that way, but, man, this world needs to get a life and get Jesus. That's all I got to say. And roll tide forever, do or die. I am a diehard fan, and people need to just get a life. I love you. God bless you and keep you.
Thank you so much, Julene. Definitely all love to all you guys, man. I appreciate all that. That was great stuff, man. She brought the fire, brought the passion.
I can't follow that one up.
that might be tough, Ragged. That might be tough, man.
Yeah, well, she was my biggest fan growing up because I played. And yeah, I mean, how can you follow that up, man? All right. Anyways, Bama, believe. And I'm going to leave you with this again. There is no reason whatsoever that we cannot go undefeated and bring home the trophy. And for Free for All Friday, I'm going to bring you with my uniform color design. How does that sound?
Wait, your uniform color design, what does that mean?
Oh, Martin Houston brought this up a while back. They were talking about, you know, the change in, well, what would you do to change the Alabama Crimson Tide's color scheme, uniform design? And this is week, yeah. I don't know if you ever caught on to that or heard anything about it, but it's going to come down
to what would you do?
All this crap with Auburn saying, "Oh my God, we actually have 9 natties and all this kind of stuff," you know, because Alabama claims 18. I'm curious to find out, and if somebody would look this up, and I'm sure Chase will do it for me. How many trophies, legitimate national trophies and championships, do we own? I'm thinking 13.
Oh.
And so, And so I have a new design for our helmets.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely be on the lookout for that. I'm curious to what that looks like.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
Yeah, well, when you get it, let me know. I definitely want to check it out.
Oh, no, I mean, I wouldn't be able to have it. I would have to learn. I can explain it to you, but let's do it Friday.
All right. That sounds like a plan. I'll be looking forward to it.
I love you guys, and thank you for our rant. And just like yours, man, you brought it. Man, you know what? That was awesome.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys. You be easy, Ragged. You and Julene.
Hey, we're cool. I got to eat. Bye.
There you go. See ya. All right, good deal. All right, we got to hit another timeout.
Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are track two is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of
Labor. At AaronLewisMusic.com.
I'm American as it gets.
Aaron Lewis and the Stateliners. American as it gets tour.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few spots could see a shower or storm through the evening hours. The high today, 90. Tonight's low, 72. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. The high, 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We're joined now by the Pastor Payne, hanging out with us. I know a lot of you guys like calling in when he's on here. So that being said, if any of you guys, I think Bryce and was it Marty maybe? Somebody asked, they wanted, or they had a question for you last time, but they missed you. So if you guys want to call in and talk with Pastor Payne, he is on here. I see QD just joined us in the chat. What's up, QD? You guys can do that, 205-342-9904. Again, don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars. I saw he had a nice cigar in his hand. Again, if you guys are looking for your own cigars, man, rnrcigars.com. Make sure you guys check them out. That way you can get the big discount code that we have to offer, Miller's Edge, rnrcigars.com. Make sure you guys check that out again. Miller's Edge on rnrcigars.com. Big discount there. Plus, you guys can always go into R&R Cigars, choose from the best humidor in the Southeast, over 160 bourbons, 2703 Gary Fitz Street is where you find them here in Tuscaloosa. And they've got some big, big news that will be coming out really soon. So make sure you guys are staying tuned for that. But in terms of a place to go watch sports, boxing, you name it, which speaking of boxing, man, Jake Paul taking on Gervonta Davis in an exhibition match, really, really weird stuff. But R&R is the place to do that. And then again, rnrcigars.com, code Miller's Edge, big discount with that. Again, that's R&R Cigars. the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. All right, so the POP was on here. It looks like he might have dropped off for 2 seconds. So I guess we'll wait and see when he makes his way back here. But in the meantime, I wanted to find that part of that Pate video with Taylor Lewan and those guys that he was talking about his thoughts on Alabama winning the national championship. I didn't hear that part. I do know he did predict Alabama to win the SEC championship over Texas. But I guess on this podcast the other day, he ended up actually going with Alabama to win the national championship as well. So I was curious to see how that was, like how he put it, you know, who he saw was beaten, whatever the case might have been. But I do know that in the meantime, there is that Greg McElroy outlook on the conference. Always like getting his thoughts on that. So without further ado, only thing is I got to jump back in the video. Let's hear from Greg McElroy when it comes to his outlook for the top teams with the best probability of winning or making it to the SEC championship game.
The SEC. I went around and around and around on this one. This one I struggled with because I look at Texas and I do think, even though they're the favorite, understandably so, they have question marks. The offensive line is a question mark. The schedule is brutal. We'll get to that kind of over the course of the next few minutes. The schedule is really challenging. But I look at their upside. I look at their ceiling. I look at the star power that they have defensively. I look at Arch Manning and what he could be for this Texas team. I look at his weapons, the depth they have at wide receiver, the depth they have at running back, and the emergence that they have possibly a star or two in their receiver core that could very easily take over the game. They were just a little overshadowed last year with some inconsistent moments from the passing game. I think Texas is in a great spot, but I also think Texas is going to have two losses at least in the regular season. Was that going to be at Florida? Is that going to be at Georgia? Is that going to be against Ohio State? Could that be against Oklahoma in the neutral site? I'm not 100% sure just yet. I think Texas, though, at 10-2, will find their way into the SEC championship game to face one of the few teams that are remaining. It's kind of hard to go through the SEC and to try to find exactly how it's all going to shake out. I think the SEC is a little bit deep this year. I'm sure those of you that are listening to this, I think there's 12 teams in the SEC that could theoretically make a run. Will they? Probably not. I'm sure some of those teams will fall off. They'll have an injury or two, and they won't be nearly the same team that they were at the beginning of the season. There's 10 teams ranked in the SEC in the AP poll in the preseason for a reason. This is a ridiculously deep league. This is a ridiculously talented league with a lot of teams that have invested heavy resources into being competitive and hopefully making a run. I look at a team like Georgia and what they were the last couple of years. Inconsistent last year. Probably a little too pass happy the last couple of years. I think they get back to business being a rugged ground and pound outfit that is still outrageously talented at all three levels defensively. I look at a team like Alabama, a team that had to deal with tremendous inconsistency last year, in large part due to inconsistent quarterback play. But their quarterback was the guy that kind of ran the show last year. I think Kalen DeBoer now has complete buy-in with this roster. I think they're deeper and more talented than people probably realize. And I think Ty Simpson, their new starting quarterback, is a great fit for what Kalen DeBoer wants him to be. He's going to be a distributor. He's going to get the ball out of his hands quickly. He's going to make great decisions. He's not going to put the defense in harm's way by giving them the short field by turning it over. I think Alabama's poised to make a run this year in a lot of different areas. I also look at a team like LSU, a team with great quarterback play, team with questionable offensive line play and a questionable commitment to the run game, but outrageous weapons at wide receiver and an improved group defensively that's probably going to be a lot more comfortable running Blake Baker, their defensive coordinator's system, than they were last year. They really changed their philosophy from 23 to 24. There were some improvements, but not nearly enough to get them over the hump this year with the additions they made in the portal and some of the veteran leadership they have at the second level. I think this defense is going to take a huge step forward in this upcoming season. I also look at their schedule, though, and I think it's a bit challenging. I also think the offensive line is a big concern for me when looking at the LSU Tigers. So, considering all the teams I was looking at, I am going with Alabama to make the SEC championship game. I just think their schedule's the most manageable. Yes, they have to go to Georgia. That will be a very challenging game where Bama will likely be an underdog. LSU, however, comes to them. And their other two tricky road games at Missouri, at South Carolina, there's a few, but Alabama avoids Florida. They avoid A&M. They avoid Texas. They do have to go to Auburn. But I think Alabama is going to be there at the end of the season with a really, really good record and proof of concept with what Kalen DeBoer has implemented over the last few years. In the championship, I'm taking the Texas Longhorns over the Alabama Crimson Tide to win the SEC. I just think with some of the youth that Texas has, particularly a quarterback, particularly a wide receiver, and some of the guys that will be rolling in on defense, they're a little bit deeper and they have a slightly higher ceiling than Alabama at this point, but they have to make sure that their offensive line is as good as they're capable of being. If they're not, Alabama could definitely pull this upset in the SEC title, but I will take Texas right now over Bama for the SEC championship.
All right, so there you go. That was former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy giving his thoughts on his podcast, Always College Football, on YouTube about the SEC championship game, which he shares the same opinion as myself. I think my dad also had that prediction, Josh Pate as well, except I do believe, I don't know if we ever gave like answers on winners, right? I think Pate went ahead and said Bama, but a lot of people starting to lean towards Texas and Alabama in the conference championship game, which again, like I said, man, it seems like people are starting to really jump on the Bama bandwagon, man. Don't know what's in the water around here, but there's a lot of hype. Dwight says this Manning hype is too much. I mean, to be fair, I mean, I think he clearly has a lot of potential. I think he has a high ceiling. I think there's a lot to be excited about. But is it enough to warrant some of the, I guess, the predictions and the expectations? I guess, I mean, we'll see, right? I mean, or, you know, shoot. Matter of fact, Chase, isn't it this weekend that Texas kicks things off, right? They've started this weekend, right?
I don't know.
Do they also play them? They might. Nah, I'm sorry. I think they're also on the 30th, but they do open up against Ohio State. So
yeah,
I will say this. People need to understand, like, that will be a good showing to see how they, you know, how those teams match up with each other, but it's not a tell-all. And the reason I say that is because it's week one. Things change so much over the course of the year. So definitely not going to be a tell-all, but it is going to be interesting to see how they at least match up week one. So a lot of people may be watching that. But for some reason, I thought I heard that they were kicking things off first, like, but definitely not. It's on the same weekend. Who are the big games for week zero? Let me pull that up while we're right here. I know my dad's in here. I don't know if he's on. If he is, he's more welcome to jump in here while I pull these teams up. Let's see. Iowa State, Kansas State. That's a ranked game. That takes place on the 23rd, which is literally this Saturday. Is that the only thing I'm seeing? No, no, no. Sorry, there's some other small schools. Stanford, Hawaii. Fresno State, Kansas. Idaho State, UNLV. So, hey, football's back at least, though, college football. So there's that. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. But again, there's Greg McElroy's outlook. He's got Alabama making the conference championship. But as of now, he says, falling to the Texas Longhorns. Quick timeout. We keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9.
25 for 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WOW25 for 25 cents per gallon bonus. That's code WOW25.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction.
Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We heard this over the break, but I'm going to play it real quick for radio again. This is the quote from Florida State quarterback Tommy Castellanos about the best defense he thinks he'll see all year.
Oh, yeah. I think Coach White and our defense is the hardest defense I'll see all year. Just schematically and stuff like that, what they do. You know, it's hard to be back there and a lot of moving parts on their end. But, you know, it's helped me a lot and helped me be better and helped me progress as a quarterback and as a player and when to, you know, just take the check down or when to just eat it or throw it away and stuff like that and know when the play is over. So I think seeing them every day for the last 3 weeks has helped me a lot and progress as a quarterback.
All right, we got the passer Payne on here. I don't know how much of that you've heard or if you've already seen that, but that was – their quarterback, Tommy Castellanos, talking about Florida State's defense and how he thinks they'll be the best that he'll see all year. Are you buying what he's saying or you think it's cap?
I don't think it was bad what he said at all.
No, do you think he believes it?
That his defense is the best he'll see all year?
Yeah.
No, he don't believe that. That's just kind of what they call coach speak or player speak, right? I mean, he don't believe that. I mean, I think he's just trying to, one, uplift his team and maybe uplift himself. He knows what he's going to be up against. He's not stupid. I mean, so, you know, like Schneesberger said, you get all this talk before the season. You know, you get fans excited. It's fodder that goes on websites and talk radio and people, you know, we're talking about it, but it's like it's nothing there really. It's like, who gives a rip what he says?
True.
I mean, don't nobody cares. I mean, dude, until you go out and prove something, nobody cares what you say. You know, you're trying to get attention, you try to bring more spotlight to the game and that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, man, don't nobody care, bro. Like, Alabama just gotta get ready, go play with the game how they know to play, and be done with it.
Well, speaking of that, that's a great segue. I want to get your thoughts on this because I've been talking about it. I've been watching a little bit of his highlights specifically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's coming from Boston College, so I had to go back and watch some Boston College tape. Watching a little UCF because obviously Gus Malzahn came from UCF, seeing what they've been doing there. We had a question from Carson talking about how do you approach defending this offense? And to me, first and foremost, you look at his skill set. You look at how we struggled last year. I'm going to be straight up. I think there is potential to have some, not necessarily issues, but there's going to be some challenges 100% facing a quarterback with his skill set paired up with a coach like Gus Malzahn. They're going to more than likely, again, we're just anticipating because we don't have, you know, true film of them together last year, but anticipation is zone read action. Matter of fact, you can see it right here. First play on this highlight right here. Zone read, right? And he's taking it around the edge for a touchdown, right? So they're going to implement that. There's going to be a lot of shifts of motions pre-snap. You know Gus Malzahn. There's going to be some RPO game in there. They're going to throw a lot at you. My question to you is, if you're the Alabama defensive coordinator, you're in Kane Womack's shoes. You know last year, some of those things caused us issues, whether if it was Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma, Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, right? How do you go into week one looking to defend Tommy Castellanos and this Florida State offense with Gus Malzahn as the offensive coordinator. Carson called in and he was asking, I mean, do you think we just get really aggressive and throw a lot at him? My argument was, you know, situationally, yeah, I think if you set yourself up third downs, yeah, really bring it, right? Don't give him that scrambling ability, force the issue, make him get rid of the ball. But I said, really, though, I almost think the approach when you do play these trickery style offenses is actually less is more. You kind of want to revert back to just play basic principles, right? Quarterback player, right? Dive player, pitch player. Don't make it too complicated. Execute what you're supposed to execute. And then you can mix it up every now and then. Send a defensive end on a forced call. That way they're not just saying, oh, he's going to take the quarterback. I'm going to do this. You mix it up here and there, but I almost think less is more in these situations. What do you think in terms of defending the offense like that with him at quarterback?
Well, it's all about discipline. And, you know, Gus Malzahn, what you do is you just go back and look at some of his offenses when he had that dual threat type quarterback. You look at what he did there, how he utilized that particular position, even at other schools. Wasn't he at South Florida?
Central Florida, and he had KJ Jefferson, the former Arkansas quarterback.
Well, see, KJ is not a dual threat like that because he's not a big runner of the ball, but he's had quarterbacks of mobile like this kid that he has now. So you go back and you watch the tape, but anytime you talk about a spread option, you're just talking about option game. They just do it out of different formation. You know, you can do it with a closed box, you know, with wings. You know, those wings now just receive it. They just spread them out, right? They motion. They half moon motion. They do all of these different things. But your rules are going to apply. Anytime you play defense, your rules apply, right? If you're the end or edge guy and you got said defense, you know that inside backer, the D tackle, is going to take dive. That dive, they're going to have a, they're going to be in shotgun or offset either way, left or right to a back. They're going to ride them in there. All right, take away the dive. If you take away the dive, quarterback is taught to pull it. Now he's coming down that line, right? And if that end guy or the defensive end or edge got the quarterback, go blow him up. And then you got pitch responsibility from normally your alley guys, you know, like a Hubbard, like a safety, like whoever that is coming downhill to fill those alleys and the corners gets off blocks and take the pitch. It's all discipline, right? This offense works when you have undisciplined defense, when guys try to do too much. When guys try to do somebody else's job instead of their own job. That's what happens with these types of offenses. And that's why they're there. They are created for the defense to make mistakes, man. Because you make a mistake. Think about how many times you've seen the quarterback, end guy, an edge guy goes and blows up the dive play, right? Because he's unblocked. Normally they leave that guy unblocked. And they want him to get crazy nosy. They want him to flat down the line of scrimmage. They want him to take that dive quarterback, pulls it, and they seal that backside back. And guess what? They get to that safety. They're off and running. And a lot of times the safety gets blocked, right? That slot guy comes in and seals him, and boom, there you go. It's a touchdown. So this offense is all predicated upon you as a defense being undisciplined and making a mistake, right? So it don't matter who it is. And Alabama has seen this before. Those coaches – Kane Womack, they all have seen this type of offense. So, you know, Alabama fans don't need to get in a wad here, right? Because they play this offense. Guess who plays it? Most teams now in college football run some variation of this offense. You can see right there when you saw him stick the ball in the belly of that back, right? Look where that quarterback eyes is looking at. He's looking at the defensive end because that's his read, right? You can see right here, if the end comes crashing down, he pulls it. If the end goes up the field, he gives it to the back. You can see right here in the belly, he's looking. There he goes. You got a pull on the backside. Now they're trying to get to the edge. Look at
they
the
have no edge.
Right. they blocked. They're done. Let it go, Christian. Roll it.
Yeah, screw it. I'm just going to let it go. Who cares about a copyright?
Let it go. Look here. You see the guy? He's on the seal. There he goes. There he goes. He's got speed. Now you're talking about 20-yard run, right? There he goes. Boom. And this play's going the opposite way. We used to have a play like that in Pace and Central High School. We ran an option. You know, that's what we did. We had fast little backs right here. Pocket. They're looking at the end. Now, if that end goes crashing down, right, those receivers are going to block. See the alley player here? That would be kind of Hubbard, right? That kind of guy. The alley play is crucial in this type of offense.
Yeah, I was about, they're all out of sorts too, and they got to, they have pullers on here. It makes it tough because he really has to close on this, and you have to have guys over the top. Yeah. And fill them there too. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that's tough. That's a tough way to. They got to it in a very interesting way.
Now they run this backside though, right? That goes away from the back.
Right.
Now think about this: the back goes to your right as you're watching the screen. Okay, but this play is kind of a counter. Now they're going right. to have a pull-up. You can see they
pull-up. That's why he's got this two lead. That's what makes it tough. Because
then that makes it more difficult. But now here's the thing. If you're an inside linebacker, right, if your guy pulls, it's backyard football, one-on-one. You're reading your guard to the back, and your guard pulls, it doesn't worry about what that – it doesn't worry what that back does. You right. go with the pulling guard because he's particularly normally to the football, right? Because all they want you to do – here's what offenses want you to do. They want you to be terrible, catch this people, with your eyes. When you play football, especially at the linebacker position, you have to be one of the best eye players that there is, right? You got to be so disciplined with your eyes because what happens is these offensive coordinators are so good today, and they're going to get you tricked out, right? They want you running. They want to run you off wide so they can hit the ball where you just left from. And so Alabama just got to be disciplined. Alabama going to have just as much talent or more than Florida State at every position. But if you get out of sorts and if you play undisciplined football defensively, it could be a long day. Because what happens, once they hit one or two on you, it's really hard to recover sometimes, right? Because they'll run out of that same option play you just saw, right? Where he went down the left side, they'll run in reverse. That wide guy end up coming back around. They'll pitch it to him, and now the end is going flat down. He's chasing. Everybody's chasing the ball, and here comes the guy going away from you. So there's so much you can do with these offenses, and that's the thing, right? It's if you don't play with great eye discipline, you're going to be in for a long night.
Yeah, no, 100%. Even, like, if you look at give me a second. Like this play that's up here right now. I mean, you got exit motion from the back, right? They're getting empty. If you read the center, though, this is a quarterback draw, right? That's not pass play. That guy's sprinting down the field, right? You can't do that on a pass play. So another reason, right? You got to have discipline, right? If you're a rusher, you sense that, you feel it, which is tough because those tackles are setting deep, right? Which is what they're taught to do. They're taught to sell it upfield, get you upfield, but you know, backers, other guys, you got to be able to see this. You see that center sprinting downfield like that, man. It's little things like that, man. You got to pay attention to because, I mean, that this is what they want to get to. They want to sell it as a pass and run a draw. It's same type of stuff we saw us do with Jalen Milroe. You know, lead power, quarterback draw. They're going to run similar type stuff. And what I was saying yesterday, the same thing that you said. Like, at the end of the day, what it boils down to, there's only so many plays you can run in football. There's only so many plays. What happens is people just get to them in a different way, right? Whether they're motion guys to it, they're starting in one look, they keep the back in pistol and they put them down, offset them just because they don't want you to know, you know, positions for them. That way you don't have as much time as a defensive unit to see it. But it is interesting. And again, this is Boston College, so this is a little bit different. But the way they get to some of these plays, like you mentioned, it makes it so much more difficult. Because that end, right, who would be the quarterback or is a quarterback player here, he's now tasked to go close on this. And that is tough. But what he has to do is go blow that up, keep his outside arm free, and be able to bounce off, ricochet, and try to still play the quarterback player and hope he got these guys flowing to help him out with that, like you mentioned, with those pullers. But it's not, again, this is Boston College. You're trying to anticipate what you could see. I was more so watching Tommy just getting an idea for his skill set. But as you can see, I mean, he's got enough juice to make plays. I mean, doesn't seem nearly as fast as Milroe, but he's definitely got a lot of juice.
No,
one thing you do notice on his highlights is he actually can. He can throw the football pretty well, too. I mean,
he's a good player. I mean, he's a good player, but is he a game-changing player? Is he a guy?
If you're not disciplined, he can be.
I mean, yeah, but my here's the thing.
Against
we'll talk
us,
about this
no.
next week for sure as we talk about keys and everything. Alabama has to stop, be good on first down, right?
Yep.
They can't give up big play. They can't give up chunk yardage. They can't give up 6-7 yards, making it a second and two or three. Now That's a tough down for a defense. Why? Because you can, it's a run or pass, right? You're kind of off guard. You got to get them. You got to have negative play. They got to get back to playing on the other side of the offense, have negative yards, tackles for loss, get them in obvious passing downs, second and longs, third and longs. Now you can unleash your athletes, your speed guys on the outside. So that's going to be also crucial in this ball game. And they know what they're up against. Is this guy going to sit there and throw for 300, three touchdowns? No. That's not his game, right? But if you are not disciplined in your eyes, you know, then you're going to have a long day. Now, sometimes the defensive coordinator can dictate your movement, meaning, pre-calls. You know, if it's a double bullet blitz, you know, double B-gaps, you know, or double A's or running twists and things like, they can do movements. They can move around so they're not sitting targets for those offensive linemen to seal. So a lot of times defensive coordinators, when they're playing a defense like what they're going to see against Florida State, they're going to move these guys. Right,
well,
so they're
going to make it. What you're going to see. So I didn't mean to cut you off. I know we're running short, but I just wanted to say this. And this is what you're going to see because this is UCF right here. This is Gus Malzahn last year. With KJ Jefferson, who I wouldn't say he's like a huge dual threat quarterback.
He's not bigger, he's slower. Yeah, but he can still run it.
No, he can run, but if you look, this is what they're, I mean, they use a lot of motion, a lot of jets, right? Zone read action. Again, this is just the first drive they had. They consistently run like the jet sweep right there. So if I'll be honest with you, perimeter guys, tackling on the perimeter is going to be big in this game. It's going to be huge, whether it's playing the zone read, whether it's playing these jet sweeps. Perimeter tackling is going to be big in this football game, 100%, let alone.
Perimeter, and they even discipline when you cut back lanes, right?
Yeah.
So guys are on the backside of these plays have to be really good. They got to be really good and even being disciplined. What's your run fit? You hear this a lot. What is your run fits? So that's going to be crucial in this game. So listen, this kid's going to make some plays. Anytime you play this kind of offense, it only takes one guy to have a breakdown mentally, right?
Yeah, well, just in look at every single snap. Yeah. It consists of some type of zone read action. That's why I was saying, I mean, you got to be disciplined. I mean, this is with KJ Jefferson, but look at every single play, whether it's even if he pulls it for an RPO or some type of play action, they got some type of jet or something. And again, this KJ Jefferson we're talking about. So imagine a small guy with some juice, man. There you go. Now he's pulling it, RPO/play action. There you go, just a regular drop back, trying to hit the fade in the end zone. But that's why after watching this UCF tape and go back and watching Tommy, that's you kind of start, like Kane Womack was saying, anticipating what you're going to see, what it's going to look like. And it's pretty evident, especially knowing that they're also going to turn on the tape and say, all right, Alabama struggled when they played Vanderbilt. They struggled with Jackson Arnold running the football. Lenore Sellers had some opportunities. This is what you're going to get, folks. And so that discipline is going to be huge, man. And I think like perimeter tackling always comes up in these games. You got to be able to tackle on the perimeter, the secondary guys. Which the good news is I feel like our corners are pretty solid in terms of, I mean, I, from what I remember at least. I'm not saying they were perfect last year by any means, but I think they're solid.
What's the quarterback that Malzahn had at Auburn?
Nick Marshall.
But he can throw it too, though.
Yeah, Nick was a good Marshall.
At least when I was there, that's who he had. He had Nick Marshall when I was there, who was a really good athlete.
You can go back and look at some of his offenses and see, you know, what they were doing. And so
I just go off UCF because this was like he was there the last 4 years, I believe. And literally, like, again, it's showing you everything. I mean, in Florida's defense – but probably different than what we run now, but I would say they're a little bit more similar to what we used to be running. But anyway, like I said, you see a bunch of zone read action, a lot of jet sweep, a lot of smoke and mirrors. I mean, you just got to make sure that you're disciplined. You got to make sure you got active communication, knowing what you're getting to, whether you're slingshotting, rocking and rolling with the secondary guys. Just be really important. But anyway, we got to get out of here. I wish we could keep breaking down some tape. Like I said, to hell with the copyright rules. We're just watching tape. We'll start doing that, man. Well, it's worth it, man. I'd rather watch tape than feel like we're handicapped because we can't, because stupid copyright rules. As long as they don't take the channel down, we're good. That being said, appreciate everybody per usual. Appreciate all the contributions, phone calls, Chase Behind the Glass, Pastor Payne joining us, all you listeners on YouTube, Facebook as well, and radio, of course. Next up, T-Town Sports Daily right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.